Ofred Finnmark is known as the world's toughest mountain bike race, and many doesn't complete the 700-kilometer long race. Last time we spoke with Josh Stinton, he was about to leave Sydney to go to Norway and compete in Ofred Finnmark. He's just back in Australia, and we sit down with him to hear how it all went. Josh Stinton, velkommen til SBS Norsk.
Talk, Frank. You'd be proud to know, after spending 2 months in Norwegian, I understood two words out of that introduction, and unfortunately both of those words were my first and last name.
Yeah, well, as we briefly mentioned earlier, you are just back from Norway.
Yep.
You landed last night. First of all, how's the jet lag?
It's, I would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's professional.
Professional.
Yeah. It's, out of 13 months, that was my 7th trip to Norway, so you'd think I'd be really used to the trip by now, but still on the trip back to this side of the water, it gets you.
Yeah.
It gets you.
I hope you won't fall asleep during our chat here, though.
Trust me, if I can mountain bike for 29 hours straight in the Arctic, I can certainly make it through a conversation with your good self, my friend.
But how was Norway? Did you have a good time?
Incredible, as always. I mean, it's no secret. I absolutely love Norway. I've got, you know, a personal affinity to it. My family comes from there. When I was there this last time, actually, I spent a lot of time in Stavanger, and I was able to stay at the family farm that my family actually came from outside of Haugesund, and spent some time with a lot of really good friends, an absolutely incredible girl. Hello, Moretta. And yeah, it was just the summer of a lifetime. It's just incredible.
So you now found a Norwegian girlfriend. Is that what you're hinting at?
Oh, yes. And just completely stitched her up on that live on the radio. Yes, I did. And
well,
couldn't be happier to say that.
Josh and Merete, congratulations.
Thank you.
Last time when you were on the show here, we talked about your preparations and the reason for going to Norway,
yep,
which was the Ofred Finnmark 700, which is dubbed as the world's toughest mountain bike race.
Yes.
Is it tough?
I've got other words for it besides tough.
Anyone you can repeat on radio?
Nope. Look, it was difficult, and as you know, I mean, you did a really good job in helping prepare me mentally and physically as a mountain biker yourself. You know, we went on a few rides together. There was no secret as to what it was going to be in terms of a mountain bike race. So 700 kilometers across the Arctic is certainly, it's not something you can just sleep your way through, even though certainly Tommy on our team tried, because he actually fell asleep riding once. But it was by far more than a mountain bike race, and the race organizers will actually admit to that. You know, they're very proud to say that it's the most difficult mountain bike race up there, but they said that they should actually rename it to an expedition, because it is, you really get to know yourself when you're out there in the Arctic at some points it was right around, you know, -1 degrees, and you're carrying your bike over streams that are up to your waist deep in water. And the certain points you get there. I mean, because I do challenges fairly often. You know, I love to put myself into extreme conditions, and you always prepare for them as best as you can. But you really, really get to know yourself when you're out there in the middle of the Arctic, and your GPS is kind of going on and off and on and off, and you're out there in these 1,200 meter high mountains, and you're kind of fighting your way through fog and etc. You certainly get to know yourself. It was a great experience, though. Incredible.
The race is 700 kilometers long,
yep,
and it's known for actually many people not manage to complete it. How,
yeah,
did you guys go?
I would say we did fantastic. So going in thinking that we were taking on a mountain bike race, we knew it was going to be difficult. Done a lot of training. Things that we would focus on were, you know, things like our mechanics. We had a lot of extra bike parts. We had a phenomenal support team with Eric and Abby that came up to help us out. Huge thanks to them. And our nutrition was really dialed in. We focused a lot on all that. But in terms of how we went, so we made it 190.52 kilometers. We made it to the third checkpoint. And at the third checkpoint, we found out we were actually, unfortunately, over time. We used a lot more time getting over the mountains than we expected to. We didn't expect it to be, I mean, you could see the altitude on the graphs as it comes down, but you certainly don't expect it to be as difficult coming back down the mountains, because it was full of rock fields, you know, marshlands, and we took a lot of time to kind of reserve energy in that first piece to try to use it later on, but we took a little bit too much time reserving energy, and we're a couple of hours over time.
Just that feeling when you were told that, sorry, you didn't make the cutoff time.
Yeah.
How was that?
Mixed, to be absolutely honest, because we had just come from, so it was 29 hours of mountain biking and climbing and screaming, etc. And even longer than that, because the race started at 6 p.m. And so we had an entire day to be awake ahead of that. So we didn't sleep, and you can't sleep or rest that entire time. When we were told at the third checkpoint, when there was ATVs there to take us, you know, away because we ran over time, it was sad because this is the first challenge that I've ever not completed. And you have mixed feelings about that, you know, because we set out to do these. You know, every challenge I do is for a charity. In my gut at first, it was a little painful to think, wow, like, you know, we didn't make it. But instantly thinking back on what it is that we did achieve, there's a lot of pride in that. You know, I'm mountain biking for 190 kilometers and not sleeping for that long. And if I'm absolutely honest, between you and I and Facebook Live and all of your listeners, there was a sense of relief as well, to a degree, because that was the most difficult thing I've ever attempted in my entire life.
Yeah. But saying that, I mean, I have seen some videos from the race, and mm-hmm. you guys managed to keep the spirit up throughout all this time. You told us now a lot about tough and rough weather, mountains, yep. and unexpected things compared to what you had prepared for, but you still managed to keep the smile and attitude
the entire time. Yeah. The entire time. Yeah. So my very good friend Charles Allen and my very good friend Tommy Trevor, the three of us took this on together as a team of three. And right from the beginning through to the end, there was never a point once, and I'm very proud of our team for this, there was never a point once where we lost it, right? Each of us did dip in turns. We hit the wall various times, and the other two were right there to support us, and we carried each other through perfectly fine emotionally. But in terms of, you know, not smiling, we never stopped. We just really kept enjoying it because, again, we're there for a purpose. You know, we're there for a charity. We know that this is going to be hard because it was our first mountain bike race ever. So just by starting and taking on the hardest mountain bike race in the world, we knew what we were up against, and we never let it get us down. And never, ever once in the process did we quit. We never, not one of us three guys looked at each other and said, "This is too hard. We can't do this." Never once. We just kept smiling, kept pushing.
Yeah. And what was the hardest or most unexpected about the race?
The mosquitoes. That's ridiculous. Like, you're swiping these mozzies away, like, you know, mozzies 10 times a second away from your face. You know, you can't get away from that. And I would say, actually, in Alta, they're less like mosquitoes and more like a national bird. You know, they're really, they're persistent. And if I had an ounce of determination that those mosquitoes had, I would be the most successful person on the planet, I think. It was incredible. So not only are we mountain biking, you know, through various conditions, rain, we crossed a glacier at one point, summited three mountains, and we had to do that all with, you know, mosquito nets over our faces as well, because if you didn't have that, which we tried to do, we tried taking them off a few times, and if you do, you'd breathe in mosquitoes, and you just can't get away from it, so... Free protein, I suppose.
you talked about you getting to know yourself through doing sort of hard stuff like this. What did you learn about yourself on this challenge?
So much, actually, to be honest. This took all three of us to very different places internally, you know, because there's long stretches where we were very quiet. We still had a positive attitude about us, but we're very quiet, and you kind of get inward. And so many points in that, because we've never been... under those conditions before. You're literally out in the middle of nowhere. You're way out in Finnmark, out in the Arctic. We don't know that terrain. We don't know the area, certainly. And you really dig deep at certain points. And when you do that, you actually give yourself the permission to look inside and seek the inspiration within you that you need. In thinking that, you know, multiple times I would think about, you know, the children and the charity that we were supporting, you know, the people in my life that I care about. And it really has you strongly assess, you know, the relationships that you have, the things that motivate you. I could certainly say that, you know, they say every experience kind of expands your comfort zone a little bit further, but mine's been completely obliterated. My comfort zone's way off the end of the table. So now I feel like you can kind of do anything. But I would say I learned on levels that I didn't know how to reach inside for inspiration.
Will you go back and do it again?
I wouldn't say no. I'm not going to swan dive into a yes. And I'll be absolutely honest, and there's a reason behind that. Because, again, so with these challenges that I take on, so this is my third big challenge for charities, the purpose isn't to show, you know, how tough I am and I complete everything I do. It's a part of the story. You know, we did the best that we possibly could and we didn't finish it. You know, we came in under time and that is a complete story to me. And I'm very happy and I'm very proud of what we had done there. I have thought about it a lot. You know, the race organizers have invited us back. And in thinking on that, like, the job has essentially been done by telling the story of Magni Bekkar Sma, the charity that we were supporting. If I went back to do it again, it would probably just be because of my ego, really, and just to prove, you know, that I could do it. But, you know, to take that challenge on, I mean, I love Alta, and I'd love to go back up there and see that. If I did do it, I'll say this: there's the option to do a 150K race, there's an option to do a 300K race, and then of course this monster of a 700K. If I did it again, it would be the 700.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Magni Bekkar Sma later, but if you were to do one thing differently in your preparation for doing the race, what would you do?
I would have slept longer the night before. I made a big mistake in the night before. I was up quite late talking to family, actually, and thinking, okay, you know, I'll catch up on sleep the day of the race, you know, because we didn't start until 6 p.m. So we all thought that we would take a nap, you know, a couple hour nap before the race. And your nerves are so, you know, so tense at that point. I didn't get any sleep. So that's one thing I would look back on. But honestly, that's about it. Other than maybe taking on some additional adventure racing, I think our mountain bike racing and strength training was certainly up to par. In terms of our endurance and our physical ability to do this, I think we were there. But yeah, certainly working under sleep deprived conditions would be the key.
You're doing all of these challenges and mm-hmm. this one as well, mm-hmm. as you said, for charitable purposes.
Yep.
And this year you supported Magni Bekkar Sma, which works with refugees in Lebanon.
Correct.
Mostly refugees from Syria.
That's right.
So how was this work and how was the success in that sense?
The work itself, because I actually had an opportunity to go to Lebanon, and we were given access into the refugee camps to visit with refugee families from Syria. And I had an incredibly unique and amazing opportunity to meet a number of families and a number of children that were in those camps and get to hear their story. And thinking about that, one big takeaway from that work that I learned is, you know, you're not discussing, you know, Lebanese folks, you're not discussing Syrians, you're not discussing refugees, you're talking about people. And these people have unique stories and beautiful little voices that deserve to be heard. So that was an incredible experience, and getting to see the work that they're doing on the ground, because they're actually helping refugees where they're at and putting in systems of support to be able to help them in their new home, actually. And in terms of, you know, my involvement with helping them, I personally would say it was a big success. We had a good opportunity to be able to release small documentaries on from the ground there in Lebanon in the refugee camps and help tell people's stories. We raised a good amount of money to be able to help them put these camps in place. So, you know, again, 100% of the funds that we raised went directly to the charity, which goes directly to the people. Yeah, I'm going to miss working with them, because every challenge, you know, I take on, it represents a new small charity. And yeah, I'll certainly miss the great people working at Magni Bekkar Sma, that's for sure.
Well, you mentioned a documentary. Will there be sort of a full documentary?
Yeah, there's more coming. So we've got a fair bit of footage that we have taken from the race. We were all wearing GoPros. A lot of that you'll hear a lot of laughing and some words that might need to be edited out for the purposes of greater media use. But we will be putting together more vision to be shared out soon, certainly.
And as you mentioned, you take taking on various challenges like this, and you do it for charities. Have you planned your next challenge yet?
Very, very happy to say I'm actually in the process of planning that. So we don't have a date set yet, but what I'm going to be taking on next is recumbent cycling. So that's the bikes for folks that require a wheelchair, that they actually use the hand cycling mechanism with their hands. So hence it's called hand cycling. I'm going to be taking a hand cycle from the north of Japan to the south of Japan. So that's 3,008 kilometers. We're actually doing that in conjunction with a group called Tokyo Task Force, which is trying to basically raise awareness for folks with disabilities around Japan and also a relief for earthquake and tsunami victims, etc. So it's an incredible opportunity. I don't know anything about hand cycling, so this is all brand new, but that's kind of the nature of these challenges. You know, take on big, big, tough things that I have no idea about and just give my entire heart to it and see how we go.
How did you end up going to do this in Japan?
I was funny story, actually. I was reached out to by a guy on LinkedIn that challenged me to a race personally. And I said, well, I'm not looking to actually race people one-on-one, but what I'd like to do is, if it's not a race that exists, it'd be a lot of fun to create an inclusory event where other people can get involved as well. And he said, well, you can pick any road bike that you want. He goes, but the kicker is I'm in a wheelchair, so I'm going to use this recumbent hand cycle. And I said, well, it's kind of brave of you to assume that I don't want to do it in a hand cycle as well. And so we both had a good laugh about that. And I just thought, what a beautiful way to, you know, get folks, like say a family member, say a mother that's in a wheelchair, to be able to do a race or, you know, an event like this with her children that maybe aren't in wheelchairs. So we're trying to make it an inclusive event for where more people can get involved in and around the entire sport itself. And I've already met a few people involved in it, and the Paralympians that have reached out to have conversations with me about it. And it's an incredibly inspirational sport, and some of the strongest group of people I've actually spoken with to date. So this will be a fascinating one.
Well, Josh Jensen, good luck with your next adventure.
Thanks,
and
Ryan,
thank you so much for coming here and sharing your story from Alta and Arctic Norway.
My pleasure. Always great to be here. I appreciate it.
You're listening to SBS Norwegian, and I am Frank Mathisen.